So what I want to try to do, we saw this so we could explain it in great detail, and part of what we wanted to try and accomplish this year was to see how from the sugya, the halakha emerges, and how everything that we are learning is not just theoretical, but drives really our day-to-day lives, and Masa Makala is certainly an area where it's easiest to be able to see that. So I don't know if we're going to do every sugya, but this sugya gives us a chance, now that we've seen it basically in its entirety, to try and look what is the halacha going to be. So in order to do that, first have to understand how the books of halacha that we use, how do they work? So I photocopied some pages of Shulchan Aruch. We'll look at that soon. We're going to review the sugya quickly. And then we'll look a little bit at the Shulchan Aruch and the Nosei Kehillah and the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, and try to get comfortable with how the halacha is going to emerge. So if I was asking you now, at the conclusion of the sugya, right, the question that we have been grappling with for basically the whole Amud, with a few details here and there, is the Isser of Halacha. Yeah, a lot of details. But the question is, if you are now writing a halakha work and you want to bring the conclusion of the sugya, and somebody is asking you to give them a written answer to the question of, am I allowed to take chicken and put it on the table together with gvina? Am I allowed to take chicken and put it together on the table with cheese? Am I allowed to do that or not? It'd be a fairly straightforward question. But we need to bring down what the halacha is, so we're going to split, answer it, and explain why it is true. Okay? So, Rabosa, am I allowed, based on what we've seen, am I allowed to put chicken on the table while I have cheese on the table?
No.
So again, I would say point number one is that it is usher. Did we see any opinions that say it was mutter?
Yes.
We had Beis Shammai. And Beis Shammai in this Mishnah said that it was mutter, but we don't possibly like Beis Shammai, so it's very clear, and this is what the first Mishnah says as well. You are not allowed to put gvina and oaf, chicken and cheese on the table together. Why are you not allowed to put it on the table together?
But you don't eat meat.
So you don't come to eat meat.
To cook. Yeah.
Which one?
Cook.
Right? L'chora, it seemed clear, the maskana of the Gemara was that we thought all along that you can't put on the table lest you come to eat them together. And then we got involved in our whole gezeira discussion. We answered for Rav Ashi before the last part of the Gemara, before the last Maskev. We answered for Rav Ashi and said that even if it's only derabanan, here we're not concerned you're going to come to eat them together, but we are concerned that you're going to come to be ola al hashochan basar and cheese, and once again you're going to come to eat them. Then the Gemara asked, okay, but so what? Who cares if you come to eat them? Even if you eat them, it's only going to be a sir. Derabanan, right? Cold meat together with cold cheese is only going to be asr midrabanan derech bishul asra Torah. Torah forbids it if they are cooked together. That's what the israelites will go on. If they're cooked together, then that which is cooked together, you cannot eat. Therefore, says the Gemara, the real concern is that you're going to come to cook it in a kli rishon. Right? That seems to be the conclusion of the Gemara. Yeah.
So we said that we thought maybe you could be a kilo, but then we said, oh, there might be cold and it has to be hot.
Right.
We said it must be cooking, so we weren't asked why not, why can't it be cliche and still be Nirvana? So it must be fusion.
Right.
So why can we answer that it won't be cold, it'll be hot food together, and then it'll be a sugar or a kilo.
What do you mean? How do you get
if they're hot?
No, hot was a way of us bringing out this point that it needs to be bishul. Meaning if it's cold, the fact that it's cold is just a proof that there's no bishul happening. You see what I'm saying? Eating a hot pastrami, taking hot pastrami and taking hot cheese that both on the table and just throwing them both in your mouth together is not, again, leaving aside the dumb approach thing that we spoke about last time, because again, I don't think that's halachah l'maisa. But again, in terms of the Gemara is saying, that would not be an issur d'oraisa even though they're hot. But the fact that the Gemara says across the board, assuming that even that they're cold, is a raya that there's no bishul. So when the Gemara in the end says, oh, you're going to come to cook it together, and then in the Kli Rishon, that's really what the issur is. So it's really in the end, when it's a gzera up to bishul basur nakala, which equals in issur min haTorah. Another lot of shekels.
Wait, when the Gemara said that it's cold, it wasn't to prove that you have to eat the matzah with that.
Correct. Yes.
When Beis Hillel says that, sorry, on Beis Shammah says you're allowed to put it on the same table.
Mm-hmm.
It only says it technically in the context of oath. Would that be to anything, or like there's a reason it says oath in this mission?
It might be that he's saying that oath is derabbanan. And you can't make such a gzera, but by pasa, which is the rice, maybe you would.
So it could be only done by law.
Could be. Again, we don't pass like
that. So then when we say usser, we're talking about everything. Meaning, so there isn't one opinion that says it's mutter completely.
By pasa, not that we don't. Correct.
So then it has to be usser.
Right.
Meaning, because you said it could be, but we don't establish it like Beis Shammai, but technically Beis Shammai might
be the
same.
By oath, we'd say it's mutter. We have to distinguish.
Right, by oath, passing the way you were is like Isra Allah al Shulam.
Right, I'm writing the halach.
Right.
So the halach, there's no distinction.
Right. Yes. This, Asr number one, this is a reason why?
No, I'm just facts. The facts that we have to. Somebody's asking you the question, and you need to write down the answer. Your answer is going to be that it's Asr. Why is it Asr? Shem Yivashel B'Kli Rishon. What is that? It's a Gzeira Hattu Bishol Basar B'Chalav. Right? I believe that's fairly straightforward. Now, if we're looking to figure out what emerges the halacha, so often the first place that we will start with is the Rambam. We'll start with the Rambam. We're not going to start with the Rambam for the moment. But again, we don't always paskin like the Rambam, but the Rambam was really...
Why do we start with the Rambam?
So the Rambam was really the first person who, in a very systematic way, told us what the halacha is. So the goal of most Rishonim, and a lot of what we're going to say is sort of general, but I think it's important, we'll have to just keep these things in mind. Most Rishonim, when they're commenting on the Gemara, the goal is not necessarily to explain what's the halacha. The goal is to explain what the Gemara means. Will the explanation of what the Gemara means affect the halacha? Oftentimes. And sometimes they will tell us what the halacha is. But if you read the Ritva on a Masechta, the goal of the Ritva is not to systematically explain to you what the halacha is at the end of every sugya. The goal of the Ritva is to explain every Gemara. If you understand each Gemara, that's a step in the right direction to then be able to figure out what the halacha is. And if the Ramban understands the Gemara in X way, and the Ritva understands it as Y, that may preclude one from saying the halacha like the other one. But their goal is not to systematically give us what the halacha is. The first one whose goal, right, the Rambam is the exact opposite. The goal of the Rambam was to basically, for somebody who can't learn Gemara, but needs to know what the halacha is, to have what we would call a Shulchan Aruch Mishnah Berurah. But the Rambam was before.
Did he write in the beginning that if you read this, you want to...
Yes, the Rambam writes in his Hakdama that if as long as you have a Tanakh and his Sefer, you basically don't need the Gemara. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean that you don't need to learn the Gemara, but it's saying that you can... All the information that you need, if you have a limited amount of time, is if you have a... Because again,
And the reason that that's interesting that he writes a Tanakh explains
something which you'll see if you read through the Rambam, is that the Rambam, who's again writing a halachic work at the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, gives us the Chanukah story. He doesn't do that when it comes to Purim. What's the difference? You won't know it from anywhere because it's not a Tanakh. Miguel Sester tells you the Purim story.
So he reads out any Tanakh within the things.
Again, for the most part, there are times when it comes up to halacha, but he assumed that you had seen the Torah, a Torah Shiva Saba. And his goal was to supplement what you needed with the Torah Shiva Peh. So with the Rambam, you're sometimes going to go in the opposite direction. Of course, the Rambam had a pshat in the sugya. But he didn't always tell us what pshat is. But sometimes from seeing how he paskins the halacha, then we have to go back, because we're learning the Rambam, we have to learn what to do, and understand, how did he understand the sugya to come to that conclusion? So it's the opposite direction of most of the other Rishonim. That wasn't the goal of the Rambam. The goal of the Rambam was not to tell us how he learned the sugya, but from how he emerges the halacha, and we'll see a good case of that today, we're going to have to then go back and figure out how did the Rambam read our Gemara. So that's the Rambam. But we, as Ashkenazim,
for the most part, not sure if we have any Sephardim in the house.
Rachamim Gedolim, not in the house. But for the most part, we don't automatically paskin like the Rambam. We had the Rush in the back of the Gemara,
did focus more on the Halacha, but not systematically like the Rambam. Then he also summarizes
the Sugyos and explains the Sugyos. And then the Rif in the back of the Gemara was the other one who, for the most part, tried to pull the sugyas out. But the most orderly version of it was really the
Rambam.
Yes.
So the Rambam was like, he would learn the Gemara, and then he learned like all the Mefarshim, I guess. Like, how did he come to his conclusion?
He read the same way all the other Rishonim did. He learned the sugyas the way he understood it. He used much more of the Gemara as opposed to the Rishonim.
He had Rashi Tosafot.
It seems like I think he had most. I don't know that he had all exactly the same as we had.
But my point is, like, if there's a mouthful of like Rashi and Tosfos, did he just take a side? Like,
not necessarily. He learned the sugya.
Same way that Tosfos can just learn the sugya. The Rambam can also just learn the
sugya. We don't have the power just to learn the Gemara and say, I think this is the halacha. What made him able to do it, but other people
can't? So that has to do with the. Because the Mishnah writes about whether can Tanoim argue on Amoraim, can Amoraim argue on Tanoim, can Rishonim argue on Amoraim. So there's a lot of that in Rambam. You know, it's a good topic for a different time. I don't want to get too far afield. Okay, so in terms of here, that's what the Rambam did. The Tur was the son of the Rush. He was the next one who tried to put the halacha together and organize in an organized way. He was the one who categorized it, not just the Rambam had, Hilchos this, Hilchos that. He put it together in four sections of the Shulchan Aruch. These are things you have to sort of remember for the rest of your life. This part of the four sections of the Shulchan Aruch.
For that, doesn't the Rambam not like chorus? Is that like basically knock on it?
Right. I don't have to knock on it, that was his goal. His goal was to summarize what to do. You could open the same way that you open, one of these kitchen books. You open these kitchen books and you have a bunch of the Maisa and you lists off what God has done. So the tour has, so there are.
That one's made up.
There are four Halakim.
Ebenezer, Sangreel,
Rashayim, Mishbaim, Sherman, Rakhayim, good.
And Orphelim, Aradea. I was the last, but Orphelim.
Orchayim, Yoredea, Ebenezer, and Hoshim Mishbaim. Okay, each of them dealing with different. The Rachaim deals with everyday halachos. The Rodeya deals with Isser Vehetter, what's mutter, what's forbidden. Evan Ezer is much more in terms of marital and relationship kind of things. Kiddushin, Gittin, Yos, and things like that. Kol Shem Mishpat, monetary matters.
The Mishnah Berurah is only in the Rodeya.
Mishnah Berurah is unfortunately only on Rachaim. Which is fortunate and unfortunate. Why did I say that? I assume that you ran out of time. Monetary matters. The interesting thing is that a majority of the halachos in Arachayim are the Rabbanim. It's a lot of tefillah, brachos,
the Derabanan of Shabbos and Yom Tov, things like that. If we had a Mishneh Berurah on the other sections, which are much more Deraisas, it would be very interesting.
We,
but we don't. Yeah. Sam, go.
What's Yosin?
Yosin means like who can marry who. Yeah.
We passed in like the Mishneh Berurah for basically everything.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily.
Ashkenaz and mostly.
There are different sabras. The Aruch HaShulchan also is.
Okay, let's go a little bit north. Let's go a little bit north.
So this is what the tour did. The tour put it together. If you see, so that's the Arba Turim. These are the four Turim, the four pillars of Halacha.
What's his name?
What was the tour's name? Yaakov Ben Avin Asher, called the Bala Turim.
Team Bala Turim on the Lumish?
Yes. So, he was right after the Rosh, so on the border between the Rishon and exact here, so I'm going to look it up.
Like 500? Or 1,000?
Maybe 500. The year 500? No, he was after Rosh and Rabban. He was probably written 1,400 or 1,500. I assume the Torah was like in the 1,400s. If somebody can look it up quickly. I assume it was in the 1,400s.
Yeah, you can look earlier. So what do people do before that?
You just learn and ask.
You better learn enough.
Good. So now, on the tour, put together, and you put together the opinions of the Rambam and the opinions of the Rosh, and occasionally the Rif. So it was a little bit broader than just the Rambam. Again, he often quotes his Adoni Rabbi Rosh Zal. He quotes from his father as the Rosh. And again, he puts it together. The two main commentaries on the tour are the Beis Yosef and the Bach. The Beis Yosef was written by Yosef Karo. Yosef Karo also wrote two other important works, the Shulchan Aruch and the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam. So when you find a contradiction between the Kesef Mishnah and the Shulchan Aruch, or the Kesef Mishnah and the Beis Yosef, you really do have to figure it out, because it's the same person, how you can change his mind.
The Bach, you said?
The Bach is the other commentary. Who wrote the Bach? What was the name of Yoel Sirkis? Was his name? The Bach was the second.
Yeah.
So I guess you take more precedence than Beis Yosef?
No. Again, Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef really brings every sugya that fleshes out what the Torah was, where the Torah was coming from. The Bach more asks kashas and resolves sugyas and things like that. The Shulchan Aruch was basically Yosef Karo taking what he thought the halacha lemaisa is out of the Torah. The way he writes in his Akdama, that the way that he decided that was he would rule the majority of the three main posts. The three main posts being the Rosh, the Rambam, and the Rif. In any situation in which two out of the three agreed, that's how he passed it, and then when it wasn't so clear, he had other rules.
How against his father.
How he passed it. It wasn't his father, this was Yosef Karo.
Okay.
He wrote the Shulchan Aruch. The Sfarim, for the most part, passed in like the basic reading of the Shulchan Aruch. Ashkenazim, the Ramah, came along later, and he had different Haggahos based on Ashkenaz, based on the Maharil, based on other things, and puts that in. He also wrote a longer version of his commentary on the tour called the Darkei Moshe. And there are other, go and bring page on there are plenty of other Mefarshim on the page, but these are the major ones. In Yoredeya, the Mefarshim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch switch between the different halachim of Shulchan Aruch. Sometimes you have the Magen Avraham, sometimes you have the main ones on Yoredeya, which we are looking at for now, are the Taz and the Shach. Taz and the Shach, the Turei Zahav and the Sifsei Kohei. The Taz was the Bach's son-in-law and Talmud.
So many Jews. Hold up. So the tour, from the tour to the Shulchan Aruch, right?
Yeah.
That was the Beis Yosef?
The Beis Yosef wrote a commentary on the tour that elaborates on where the tour was coming from. And then he fleshes out the halacha, similar, corresponding to the model that the tour brought. Like the Simanim are going to be the same in the tour and the Shulchan Aruch, but he summarizes what the halacha maisa is, and the way that he did that was based on two out of the three major poskim.
Same, but I thought that's what the book Beis Yosef commentary was, two out of the three.
Beis Yosef, no, it's the same person. The Beis Yosef explains. Beis Yosef tells what the halacha is.
When Beis Yosef comes to the Torah, right?
He just gives them a chorus.
Just gives them a chorus.
And he asks his kashas.
So then when you wrote the Shofar Aruch, that was
he pulled out just the, like when you read one of these Kitzur books, he pulled out, like, what's Ola Lamaisa? What do we do? Okay.
He considers his biggest work the Beis Yosef.
That's what they say, that his magnum opus was the Beis Yosef.
Okay. Now with all of that,
let's look at how, you know, in this particular volume, you see this one is called Tor V'Shulchan Aruch. Usually the Tor is one large set of Sfarim, the Shulchan Aruch is another large set of Sfarim. This, whatever it was, for areas that are normally studied popularly, the Halacha L'Maisa, they took the Simanim of Tor and Shulchan Aruch that are being studied and put them into one book, the first half being Tor, the second half being Shulchan Aruch, just for convenience. For longness. This one is called Yoredei Helfos Basar V'Chalav, and it has Simanim Pe'alav through Tzadivah, which are the main Simanim on Basar V'Chalav. The first half of the work, again, they didn't add anything, they added some footnotes and things like that. They made it a little clearer. But the first half of it is the Tur, with the Mitzvot in the Bach and those commentaries. The second half of it is the Shulchan Aruch. It's just for convenience purposes. Now, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, it's like photocopied for you guys. So if you look at the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Pei Ches, so the Shulchan Aruch paskins our din. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Pei Ches, Siman Aleph, and the name of the Siman is Shalol Ha'alos Basar Shulchan Shulchan Vina. Not to be Basar on the table of a treating Vina. So says the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Aleph. Filu basar chaya ba'ov. Why does he say a filu, even basar chaya ba'ov?
Because it's included in the Darasa.
Could you tell what?
Oh, it's Darasa.
What about having a filu?
I got these arguments.
If they're both Darasa, then it's the same.
It possibly says PD. So he said even. Even. Yeah, like. I don't know.
No.
Exactly.
So what's the finish of Nam Ve'ema? And why is that a finish? When would that be a finish?
It's Derubban.
If it's Derubban, that's a finish. Right? Afilu B'Sachai Bo'ov, even though it's only Derubbanan. What?
It's another Gemara.
What is it? Okay. It's fine. I think it's important to learn how to use the page. So, you know, because there I'd rather use this. But Afilu B'Sachai Bo'ov, even if it's B'Sachai Bo'ov, which is only Derubbanan. Now, how do I know that the Shulchan Aruch holds that it's only Derubbanan? So this you do not have in front of you, but in Siman Pei Zayin, the Siman that comes before, he writes, Kasuv Batorah, the Torah writes, is in Siman Pei Zayin Sif Aleph, Kasuv Batorah, the Osu Vashal Gadim Bakalei Bimo Shalosh Pronim, it says, Osu Vashal Gadim Bakalei Bimo, don't cook, the kid is supposed to go up three times, Echol is a Bishol, Echol is a Yachil, Echol is a Harnal Bissar, Votzi Afila Beloshon Bishol, Lomar Shinosim in Atorah, there are Bishol, and there are Bonosim Kolinyan, and it's only aser if you cook it first. And then in the next sim gimel, ain't no again with bebasar behema torah b'chol behema torah. I think we saw in that Mishnah daf kufir gimel, right? That's kufir gimel, I think. Right, that has to be kosher meat and kosher milk. Ubasar chayo v'ov afilu b'chol atorah mutar v'bishul v'hanah v'hafka afilu eino aser elam mizrabanan. So again, the afilu here hints at something bigger. We know that it's bigger because he does it earlier. So the mechaber paskins, which is not shocking, that chaya and ov are only mizrabanan. Chaya and ov are only mizrabanan. Interestingly, he adds, which we'll get to back at some point, there's no iser bishul when the things are only asking to fun, there's no
sir. But we're talking right now about the achila. Okay? So that's the first thing the Shulchan Aruch says. Again, not problematic. We didn't take sides here whether the asr is going to be derais or derabbanan.
But it said, that's clearly what it says. So achila basa chayra of, get back to Pinchas Sif Aleph. Asr lahaloso al shulchan, turn the page. She'ocho avvina. Very good. So he incorporates the chiddush of the second Mishnah that this only applies to an eating table. It does not apply to a preparation table. So
So meat, sorry, chicken and chaya, and certainly basar ve'ema, you are not allowed to put onto the eating table together with cheese. So far, so good. Why? Shevo yovo l'ochlum yachad. They don't come to eat them together. What?
Sounds like a problem.
Oh, we'll get there in a second. Sounds problematic. Right? Ora, as soon as you see this, it goes against what we wrote up here. That was what the Gemara thought. The Gemara assumed initially that it was saying you shouldn't come to eat them together. But the Maskana, what was it about?
Bishul.
It was about Bishul. It was about Bishul.
Regardless of the rest of the Rabban.
Correct. Correct. Right? It was about Bishul. Because Tzoyin was only about the Rabbanan. Then he just finishes off. Oh, Bishul, okay. He spells out for us clearly the distinction of the Mishnah between the eating table and the prep table. So you're looking at the Shulchan Aruch, and you're very surprised. You're very surprised. Because if we were trying to figure out what emerges the halacha, we would have said the same halacha. But we would have written, Shelo Yogo, Vashlam Yachad, Be'ilfis, Kli Rishon, or whatever the language of the Gemara, whatever the language of the Gemara was. Yeah.
It is a halacha sefer, right? Don't they have to be, doesn't the Shulchan Aruch the Rambam have to be worried about the lead up, even the derbanams or the lead ups, these arrows? So therefore, maybe it's weird that he phrased in a way that we're afraid you're going to eat, right? Maybe they should have also phrased that we're afraid you're going to cook and eat, or eating is a derbanam.
Again, his goal, certainly he has to be clear, but he also has to be, you know, honest, reflection of the Gemara. The Gemara seemed clear that it was in the Shulchan Aruch. So you're written the Shulchan Aruch,
Sira Lexir also.
And that's the Gemara, that's why the Gemara rejects it. Right? So you're looking at the Gemara, and Lech Ora, the Shulchan Aruch is a Pella. Right? Doesn't make any sense. You understand the problem? We're good.
Isn't that, right?
It's explicit. So now, when you have a problem with the Shulchan Aruch, the first thing that you do, usually, is you look at the Nosi Kalim. Right? When you have the little letters and things like that, you look around, does anybody talk about what's bothering me?
It's Nosi Kalim.
The literally means the arms bearers, that's what we assume the commentaries on any main text. Commentaries, I don't know what they're called in English. The commentaries on the text are called the Nosei Kelim.
Commentators on commentators?
No. What's that, the super commentators?
I'm saying it's a commentary on a commentary.
It's a commentary on Shulchan Aruch, I don't know, on a text. So Rambam has Nosei Kelim. So the Rambam has Nosei Kelim because the Mishnah, the Ravaz in some places, the Melachah Mishnah, the Mishnah Mut, and here it consists of the Shach and the Taz. So the Shach comments on some things, nothing which helps us, you don't have to go through it, I'll put you in on that, it definitely helps us. The Taz, though, in Zip Aleph, seems to be bothered, what we were bothered by. Says the Taz, Shelo yovo l'ochlam yachad, v'yach al pi d'kishe ochlam yachad nami, even if you eat them together, lecha iser d'oraisa, it won't be osim d'oraisa, why not? She'ein iser d'afa d'arach bishul yachad.
Sounds like ofis d'oraisa.
The only time it could possibly be a sederaisa is if you cook it together. And therefore saying that you're not going to come to eat it. You give it on the table unless you come to eat it is only a zera v'gzera. Amrina, the Gemara, we say, don't worry about it. The Gemara told us that in this case we say zera v'gzera. Really?
Is
that true? Does the Gemara say that?
Let's take your Rashi. What do you mean? Must be talking about what we're talking about, Rashi and Abaye, not the Masechta pretty much.
So according to Rav Ashi, I thought that
to eat it
was not just to eat it, meaning with the kasha of the Gemara. About why don't the same kasha with the Gemara about someone and someone that the Gemara asks after we get rid of the Xer issue and defend it, but then the Gemara asks after that, but it's sonim and sonim. What does Ravashi do with that?
Meaning what they're asking of Yosef should be something about Ravashi.
That's what Ravashi sounds like, right? Ravashi said, Afilu, even. Afilu gives the owner of us over the race, and I wish God was love. Certainly, if it's the Rabbanim, you have this problem, next problem with Mara. But Rashi says, even if it's the Raisa, you have a problem on the real estate.
Right, so the way to get around this is by changing what the end result is. No longer is it about eating, it's about cooking.
Right.
That's how it gets out of it.
Right.
For real estate.
Both of them. It's a few, so for the Rashi is where it is.
So you're asking, how does that work with Rashi? Because Rashi understands how it's to be for eating.
No, I think it's fine. Meaning, the way we learned, and the assumption of reading the end of the Gemara, was that whatever emerges where we said Achila, we're going to plug in Bishul in the end.
Oh, so it's redefining our Rashi.
Who is?
The end of the Gemara. That's what it sounds like according to Rashi. Rashi is Achila Tibzil Omar. Achila Tibzil Omar means even according to Yosef, it's still Zero Tibzera. Certainly according to Ravashi. So there is a commentary, that we'll talk a little bit, on the Taz and on the Shach written by the Prima Gadin.
What Taz is there? There?
What would there be here? That you can't put it on the table lest you come to eat it, even though it's only Misadrama.
Right.
It's like Zero. So there's a commentary.
Oh, I thought you were saying you can't put it on the table because you might have a Basar Chal on the table.
That's not what the Shachar said. That's what we said, and that's what, right? That's not explicit in the Shemara. That's what we're struggling with. If you would have said that, then maybe we could have some wiggle room. Yeah.
In the second, the end of the second line of Talis,
yes.
Sashim, Isur, Ella,
yes.
He's still talking about Dio Raisa, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Oh. So now, the Prima Gadim
wrote numerous commentaries on Shulchan Aruch, but one of the things that he did was he has a running commentary on the Taz and on the Shach.
The commentary on the Taz, which stands for Turei Zav, is called Mishpat Sos Zav. So say you remember it's called Zav. Right? Turei Zav. And it's on the next page. You have it on your next page here. And then the commentary on the Shach is called Sif Seidah. So the Shach is actually Sif Seidah, and the sin and the shin, as we know, from the Gematrios are interchangeable.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's right or not, but that has to be true. That we don't have to do much here for sin or a shin. So it's called the Sifsei Das. So if you look in the Mishpat Sos Zav, have an next page, in Aleph.
Where is it?
Have it on the next, it's on the third page, in the middle of the page, says Mishpat Sos Zav. Okay, because Aleph Shalom. So again, when you have trouble with the Taz, the place to look is at the Prima Gadim. Since he's the one who deals usually at length with the problems with the Taz. I know this sounds confusing, it's really not so confusing. Okay? We'll talk for now. Oh, Kosa Taz! Dibigamara and the Gazrin and Jerry Gagavna. The Taz says, don't worry about the Shulchan Aruch, see that the Shulchan Aruch seems a little bit off kilter. Because it says, the Gemara says, they make Xerah. Halashon Negungam! His language is messed up. Yeah? Next page. I'm just going to show you on page.
Isn't it?
Yeah, but it doesn't say that.
Which part goes up?
Not the one. No.
Oh, that's up.
Okay. Halashon Negungam, second line of the Pure God. Chazad ha'avalei l'meimar d'basarof inami derev bishul ha'ava kiyim d'rabbanon. So it messed up because it should have said that basar of, even if it was derev bishul, it would only be d'rabbanon, right? Doesn't it sound like he's always bothering some of you? It sounds like from the Taz that if the same case the Shulchan Aruch was talking about was derev bishul, it would be asar. Is that true?
Which would mean derived.
What?
Which would mean it was an Isra
Torah. Right, which would mean the Oraisa, their official is talking Isra Torah, and he's talking about oath. That's not true. It doesn't bother you. Right? The Taz wrote even though we need to dig into the deraisa, because it's only us deraisa, their mission. What are you talking about? Talking about oath. Oath is included. That's the joke at the beginning. Have people buzzer chayev a oath. So the Taz is then going to say, buzzer chayev a oath is only buzzer chayev a oath is only derabanan because it's not derabishul. Sounds like if it was derabishul, it'll be asa deraisa. Asa deraisa, it's oath. We don't show that our paskins in Simon Pei Zion, like the Shita that opens only Dirabanan. So this language is off. That's problem number one. Be'od, did the Gemara go over the Gagabla Gazrin and Zera and Zera? That's not where the Gemara said that we make it Zera and Zera. He mixed up his Gemaras. Like we pointed out, right? Where did it say Zera and Zera? That was on the first part of the Sukkah. Ve'adirabba. Rashi appears to be Shemaki La Bai Gazrin Allah Atala Bafila Bibahema. The Chava Chadam Zera, the Hala, so Haina Fila Shabada Yachal, Lurab Chadam Zera. You go and says, what was the Pshat in the end? Remember what we said, the beautiful Pshat in the end? That Abai holds.
Redefining Zera.
Right, Abai is redefining Zera the Zera. And once you say, this hope will look familiar. Once you say that there's a gzera of halas, that's not a gzera about achila, right? That's not what it is. Rather, it's a gzera about halas v'achila. And Rashi, you know, that whole shtick of Torah that we're talking about grouping the two together. They're too close together. Now, once they're on the table, for sure, you're going to come to eat them. That's why the Gemara says not Gzera but Gzera, because it's considered to be one Gzera. That's what he was talking about. V'af amai de mishani ilpas roseh ha'chafin at the Gzera alad alab ilpas roseh ha'basar behema. And then in the next part, where we have a concern about the Ilfis Rosea, that's talking about a Basar Behema being the Araisa. That's what the ultimate concern. That's what the ultimate concern is about. So again, the Taz, the Dream of God, is backing us up. That the Taz is very difficult to understand.
Well, the Taz is assuming that Shulchan Aruch.
So again, you're right. The Shulchan Aruch is completely almost impossible to understand. But the Taz. And again, we have to understand the Shulchan Aruch as is. The Taz seems to be trying to understand that I don't have a problem with the Shulchan Aruch. That's the Taz is saying. Shulchan Aruch is good. But the teretz that the Taz is trying to give the Shulchan Aruch doesn't work.
Zero, zero.
Because the only thing is zero, zero. And that doesn't seem to be this part of the Gemara. Okay. So we need to understand the Taz, and we need to understand the Shulchan Aruch. Good? So again, the Shulchan Aruch has to make sense. Agreed? So now,
which puts out a second pass on this stuff.
He doesn't like the pass.
Yeah. Says he didn't speak precisely. He didn't speak so precisely.
It's a bold thing to say, though.
Yeah, but I don't know if he's stopping. Okay. Let's leave those up here about at this point. Now, oftentimes, the Shulchan Aruch is quotes, people call him a plagiarizer. That's not what he was doing, because he explains in the beginning what he was trying to do. He will often, if he passed many, like what the Rambam says, meaning either the Rambam was the only one who disagreed with him, or the Rif agreed with the Rambam, that's what he was passing, he often took the language of the Rambam and basically stuck it into Shulchan Aruch, cut and paste. Because the Rambam wrote it very, very clearly. So if you're passing the Rambam anyway, that's a great place to take the language of the Rambam from. But sometimes it makes sense to go back and see how the Rambam paskins the halacha. So if you saw
the Rambam inside, I think Eitan sent out the language. Look at that Rambam in Hilchos Macholos Asuros. So what's it, Perek? Ches?
Tes?
Perek Tes Halacha Chaf. What? Some of the Gemaras have it in the back. Good.
Oh, yeah.
So what is the Rambam Paskin? What is the Rambam Paskin? And then let's think about this in light of the Shulchan Aruch. Listen carefully. Asur lehalos ha'of imagvina ala shulchan shu ochel olav. You cannot put on the table oaf, chicken, with cheese on the table in which you're eating. Gzeira mishum hergel avera. They shouldn't come to violate an avera. It's very easy. Habitually you're going to come to violate the avera because it's right there. What's the avera going to be? Shema yochal ze im ze. You may come to eat them together. And how does he hold about oaf? He tells us. Even though it's only midivrei sofer.
Right? So it's not word for word in Shulchan Aruch like the Rambam, but it's very clearly reflecting the opinion of the Rambam. Right? Because the Rambam writes that oath, he's very clear, we're talking about oath. Is asur midrabanan, right?
There's no issur d'oraisa when it comes to oath.
He says that explicitly. Shulchan Aruch passes that as well. He doesn't mention
Kaya, but again, Shulchan Aruch is trying to be broader. He says that oath is asur midrabanan.
Lahalos imagvina,
and you can't bring it up on the table together with cheese. Why? What are we concerned about? Achila.
How does he go to Arvara?
Oh, exactly. So now, whatever problems we have in the Shulchan Aruch, we're trying to figure out how the Shulchan Aruch got it in our Gemara.
Now the Rambam is on that same side. So I think now we understand more where the Shulchan Aruch is coming from. But we need to understand the Rambam.
Oh.
One second. We need to understand
the Rambam. Okay, the problem is clear again. When we were trying to summarize how the halacha emerges here,
we all agreed that aser v'lidrabanan d'oraisa, and that it's going to be a concern of Shem Yivasha, like the conclusion of the Gemara,
and the yisur d'oraisa that we're trying to protect is the yisur of Bishul. A question or an answer?
It's kind of both.
I only want a question.
I can phrase it as a question.
Well, if it's an attempt to answer, then I'm not interested right now. I want to make sure the question's clear.
So we need to understand, and can God then clearly learn like we were learning, and therefore is bothered by everything that we were bothered by? But it all emerges really from the Rambam. And the notes that came on the Rambam are really not kind of joke Rambam saying. Some say, suggest that the Rambam is just writing in shorthand. And he was just sticking the language of Afilo, but he really meant Bishul. For those who spend hours and hours and hours poring over the language of the Rambam, it's obvious, and the precision of his language, it's not a very satisfying. Which is, what is the pshat in the Rambam? How did they see something totally different in the Gemara than what we saw? Yeah, Zach?
Just a stretch.
Okay. So I want to suggest as follows, and you got to hold it up.
Okay? Try to make this as clear as possible. I'm going to hold up a question until the end, and then once everything is hopefully clear, then the only questions will be whether my theory is right or wrong, and not be about understanding it, but I was happy to take questions about understanding it. How did we learn pshat in the Gemara? Right? We learned pshat in the Gemara. And really, we're trying to sort of build up everything that we've seen until now, and coming to a head here. How did we learn pshat in the Gemara? So we said,
there's a machlokas, again, you know, it's a few steps back. We said there's a machlokas between Rav Yosef
and Rav Ashi, how to understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah asering only basar oaf midrabanan, or is it basar oaf midoraisa? Everybody agreed,
everybody agreed that the Isser of Halah applies to both. Rav Yosef Bar was a Raya that it's still Raisa, and Rav Ashi did not. Fret, Rav Yosef Akasha. I don't understand. How can you, Rav Ashi, say that it is
Asr Midrabanan Oaf?
How do I know that this type of gzera l'gzera of halah atu achila that we don't make such a gzera? Chala is my raya.
Comes along Abaye and Abaye says,
you have no raya. Because there is a distinction between a dirabanan in a situation where the likelihood of violating the daraisa
versus a dirabanan as a gzeira when it's less likely you're going to violate a daraisa.
So just like by chala, I'll tell you that if it was a chala sputzla aretz in Eretz Yisrael, maybe we would make a gzeira. That's not what you're just talking about. Maybe we would make a gzeira. So to bus of a chala! You can make a
zero. I. It's only dirabanan.
So that we answered one of two things. We answered either that this is an exception about saying zero to zero, or as what Rashi seems to say, and is also how the Prima Gadam understood Rashi, we misunderstood the zero. The gezeira was not halas of atu achilas of, and then achilas of atu achilas behema, right? Which would be three steps. But it's a halas of atu halah veachila, and those two come together. We suggested
that the machlokas between
Rav Yosef and Abaye and Rashi then is in the nature of Gzera Gzera. Right? There Rav Yosef holds that Gzera Gzera, we look in a linear way. What's the next step? If the next step is a Dirabanan, then you can't make an Isser in front of it. If the next step is the Raisa, you can. And Abaye says, according to Rashi, the bullseye theory, right? You have to ask yourself the question, what are we ultimately protecting? And even if it's two, three, four steps removed, I am allowed to do that as long as the question that I'm answering is, not as long as the question that I'm answering is, am I coming to protect the Daraisa,
or am I coming to protect the Dirabanan? Good? Then, the last step, but then the Gemara asks on Rav Yosef,
you're Mr. Gzera Gzera. You can't do a Gzera Gzera even in a linear way, right? Yes, meaning we don't look at the bigger picture.
So according to you, we're still going to have a problem
because it is tzomein, it's only cold. That's not going to be instant to Oraisa. It's not going to be Nisit Doraisa. So, according to you, what's going to be problem? Oh, not going to be misunderstood. Really, my concern the whole time was Bishul, not Achila. Right? That's summary of what we've probably said three or four, possibly more times right now. I hope so. Maybe it's possible to say that the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam read the Gemara differently than Rashi. Maybe they read the Gemara differently than Rashi. Rashi clearly learned the Gemara as the last kasha of the Gemara is even a question on Rav Yosef. Maybe it's possible that the Rambam, and then everybody else that follows in his footsteps, only learn the last kasha of the Gemara according to Rav Yosef.
There is no kasha at all on Abaye. How is that possible? How is that possible?
Yeah, the Gemara asks, Maskeflot Rav Sheshes. Right? Rav Sheshes asks, it's Tzonein. Everybody agrees. Rashi says, Afilu. Rashi says, even according to Rav Yosef. There is very little reason to assume that the Kasha is not also on Rav Ashi's understanding of the Gemara, especially the way Rashi understands it. Kasha is on everybody.
Kasha is on everybody.
And then the answer to the Siddha. Yeah, good. I'm setting it up in a way that I hope you're coming to the conclusion on your own. And the way the Rambam is learning the Gemara, is that this Kasha is only on Rav Yosef. It's not a kasha on Rav Ashi at all. How is it not a kasha on Rav Ashi? How is it not a question on Rav Ashi? According to Rav Ashi, isn't this still going to be? And now it's even further removed. Because you're right. Halah up to Achila, that you were able to crunch into, one. How are you going to crunch Bishul into there? Is it so obvious that every time you put things on a table together, you're going to automatically come to Mavasha and then Kirishol? Or not? So it should be a Kasha and Mavashi also. And the Rashi is right. Why is the Tzonim and Tzonim Kasha not a Kasha on Ravashi? So the Chora, what the Rambam's going to understand, is the way that Abaye understood, the way that Abaye understood Rav Ashi before the Maskif was not the bullseye theory. But Rav Ashi is saying, Abaye is saying
that according to Rav Ashi,
Basar B'Cholov is not subject to Gzeira. It is Gzeiras are permitted when it comes to Basar B'Cholov. We're not saying it again. Till now, we were learning Rashi, and I think it's correct, Rashi. The way we were learning Rashi was that he was solving the Gzeira problem by saying, well, look, what are we trying to protect in the end? As long as in the end we're trying to protect the Araisa, then we're fine. Even if it's a few steps removed. The way that the Rambam seems to understand it is no.
What Rabbi is being mechadesh
in Rav Ashi is that Rav Ashi is saying that because Basar B'Cholov problems are so prevalent, the Rabbanan have the right to do whatever they want. Even if it's a Gzeira, even if it's a violation of Gzeira. So yes, the Rabbanan are going to say that Halas Oaf is Halas Oaf. That feels only to Rabbanan. I don't care. Basar B'Cholov, according to Rav Ashi, is not subject to Gzeira. So when the next Kasha, the Gemara Maskeflot Rav Sheshes, it's only a Kasha according to Yosef, because the Yosef learns that you can't have Gzeira. According to the way Rav Ashi is understanding it right now, Chazal can put 4,000 Gzeiras to protect the Rabbana. Basar B'Cholov, like Tosfos said at the bottom, you can't be Madama anything. Basar B'Cholov is not subject to Gzeira.
Why? So the Rambam tells us why. You know why?
Mishum Hergel Aveira. It's just too much. You're eating. These are all things that are permitted. There are so many things that can go wrong. It's all going to be mutter. Therefore, Zok the Rambam.
Therefore, now if you read the Rambam, Asr lehalos of magdin al shulchan shu'ocha alav, gzeira mishum hergel davar, shem yocham zeh, maybe you're going to come to eat them together. It's only a drabbanan. He tells you it's a drabbanan. Afal pisho, b'chal vasem there yourself, even though it's only a drabbanan.
Doesn't make it gzeira? No! Because that's exactly what the sugya is teaching you. Maskana of the Gemara, according to this, before Maskana of Sheshes, Abaye is saying that according to Rav Ashi, you are allowed to have gzeira, and maybe gzeira, by Basar B'Cholov. And now Rav Osai, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Now the Shulchan Aruch says, Afilu Basar Chaya Ba'ov, Aser La'alosu Allah Shulchan 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 Shul You're not going to make up heathens yet. Who cares? It's only Dirabbanan. Zaptataz. Avalidism yagan lepesh deraisa. So again, the first language is some say it's a little bit off. Because she didn't say it's a little bit off. But she'll... Nimsa da bexer bexera. Begavara aminim bexegat bexerin zera. The taz is beautiful. What the taz is saying is that the chiyai gavna doesn't mean chiyai gavna of halah. So we're not talking about this particular case of halah. So up to... Halas v'achilas basar b'chala. He means b'chi ha'gavna zozer zera by basar b'chala, by oath b'chala. The whole topic, the whole shebang, is not subject to zera. The zera, and that's what the mechaber is passing in. So now, I'm going to say next shabbos. I think this is correct.
And now there's a big nafkamina.
If we go back to this, maybe. Now, again, what we were saying earlier, when we were discussing with Abaye and Ashi, what do they hold? Is it a zero of zero? Is it a chad of zero? Now, this shot can only hold that we're saying that it's a zero of zero. Right? When we're saying, what is Abaye, according to Rashi, permitting? And I said, that according to Rashi, it doesn't matter. It's just semantics. It doesn't matter if it's zero and zero or a chas and zero. According to the Rambam, it does matter. According to the Rambam, you have to say that it's permitting zero. You're permitting zero and zero. I don't think anything that we're saying changes any of the truth that we've had until now. I believe, and I think that Prima Dutton supports it, that Rashi is consistent. This is what Rashi learns the sugya the way we learned the sugya. And if we were Rashi, you would not write the Shulchan Aruch like this. If you were Rashi, you would not write with the Shulchan Aruch is Xera to Achila, even if you held that Basar Oath is only Zerabana, you would write that Xera, Shem Yalla, Bills, and Sorsaya. They're going to come to cook. But the Rambam had a totally different shot in Abaye and Ravashi. According to him, it's a blank check. The Rabbanan were given a blank check. That's Abaye's huge chiddush here. The Rabbanan have given the power of Xera to Xera, and they can whatever they want in the realm of Basar B'chala.
And Rabbi Yosef argues
for that.
Yes.
Not only did not believe the blank check, he thinks that you can't have Xer L'Xer. And once that's true, it changes to a very strong Gasha. Because according to him, again, he owed that to the right, so maybe that's what's pushing. Maybe that's what's pushing to possibly like some version of Abaye and Rashi, because all the posts give him, I think, across the board, hold that oath is only Rabban. They're not in Rabbi Yosef land per se.
When it comes to that.
Yes, that.
So Roshid is not according to Rabban, not there there that well.
According to the Rambam, he's trying to say that it is a problem zero and zero. That is a problem. Only according to Rabbi Yosef. Because according to Rashi, we already were machadish. The Gzera is not a problem by Basar B'chala. Why is it not a problem? I don't know. Ergo, whatever the reasons are, he doesn't tell it to us, but that was the theory.
They're off to the adult.
When Abaye answers for Rav Ashi about this distinction between Chalas Lutzlar and Ba'aretz, and when he said the line of Isharia Sadasuke of Lubinos, Sadasuke Basakino Mecha Basakal Taraisa, what that line, again, not definitionally, not what the words actually mean, what that line structurally is doing is saying, Zera the Gzera is permitted and is done by the Rabbanan by Basar B'chala, and that's okay. But the Gemara then says, I'm asking for Rav Sheshes, that's not a filo on Rav Yosef, that's only on Rav Yosef. That's a kasha, it's only a kasha if you believe like Rav Yosef, that Gzera the Gzera is an issue. If it's an issue, and eating them cold together should not be a reason to make any sort of deal. Yes,
what is this thing around? How would he explain Abaye's last name that he has to
Abaye is a big tzaddik, and he's answering the kasha for a reason. He's not saying that he holds. Abaye is basically, I think what the Rambam would say, is that Abaye is not taking any sides. Abaye just being an emes dikatam chacham, and he saw that Rashi needed to be defended in the first sugya, and he gave a defense to Rashi. He saw that Rabbi Yosef needed to be defended in the second sugya, and therefore he defended him. Exactly what we're doing here. I'm not taking sides, but I'm not Meaning, the same way we are not taking sides between Rashi's understanding and the Rambam's understanding, or we're trying to understand both ways. So Abaye, again, comes out funny to our eyes, because they're right after each other on opposite sides. But I think that's the shot. I don't think Abaye is taking sides. I think he's just trying to answer La Amito Shel Torah. Yeah.
So now, based on your answer, and maybe I apparently didn't understand the original version, but you said Rashi is a filu.
Yeah.
So then what were we saying? Let us get up anymore before we had all this. What were we saying that Rav Ashi holds? Like the Gezeres was a lot.
In the end?
Yeah, according to Rav Ashi.
Or because of Bishul.
And that wasn't a problem with Gezeres.
Right, that this could easily, Allah of Akila extends to
like Bishul.
Bishul.
And it's the same place we did before.
Same target. Again, you learn the bullseye approach. That's what
that's
the bullseye.
Yeah,
the bullseye
so
is Bishul.
So I don't understand why we have to do all this. Why can we just say that Shulchan Aruch is possibly with the Rashi? But I have to redefine everything to say it's possibly with Rashi.
Because we don't know how Rav Ashi holds. The way Rashi seems to learn Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi would say that it's Zerah to Bishul.
Yeah.
Shulchan Aruch says it's Zerah to Achila. It's explicit in Shulchan Aruch. And it's Zerah to Achila.
Well, the question we had wasn't Zerah versus not Zerah to Achila.
That was in the Taz we had that question. We were trying to. Question one was how can the Shulchan Aruch say that it's Xerah to Mafila? Maskan the Gemara sounds like it is unto Bishul.
The only way to say that is if you say that he also holds it, that Bishul's not in the picture.
Rav Ashi.
Right. And the only way to say that is the whole story.
Right.
Okay.
Can I ask a further along the question?
Yeah.
So, is Asur Halal on the same thing? Is that for one person's meal or two separate meals?
So wait there a second. Is the I do want to do a little bit more left, but I said there is one last point about multiple people eating together, which is actually the next sugya. So I don't want to get there yet, but there are a few other halachic points about this that I would like to get to if we have time. But I want to get this point is clear.
To say that the Rambam pulls like Rashi.
I think the Rambam runs like Rashi, but he has a different understand what the finish is. I said I think he has a different understanding than the way that we did and the way that Rashi understands.
The way you explain it now, like, sort of try to understand the whole issue. But don't you have, like, many pieces? Obviously, Rashi would have to agree that Derek Bishul is a derisive one.
Correct.
Meaning, but in the fellow.
Right.
So then, don't you have the same problem?
No.
Why?
Because if you learn that there is no problem of Gezeira to Gezeira, if you learn the problem of Gezeira to Gezeira, then Rashi would tell you that there is no problem with the Rabbanan saying you cannot put chicken on the table together with cheese because it's like you're going to eat those two together, even though it's only the Rabbanans. That's the Bina Fumina.
I mean, he would say that when Bishul, when it's about Bishul, it's like about anything that would be the Raisa with Bishul. And this is not one of those things.
I think Rashi ignores the end of the Gemara. The end of the Gemara doesn't apply to me. I already told you
that the Rabbanan have the right when it comes to Basar B'chalav to say whatever they want. The Rabbanan can even make a Gzeira.
The Rabbanan said you can't eat. The Rabbanan said you can't eat Oaf and Kvina together.
At that point, once they said that, they can even say you can't put them on the table together so you don't come to eat them together.
Yeah, but what is the fear of cooking?
It's not a problem.
No, it's another step. It's there are multiple steps.
So Bishul is included.
Bishul is included, but that's not the reason for this Gezeira. Gezeira of Ha'alaha is not an oath, is not to prevent Bishul. That's not the purpose. When the Rabbanim were deciding, should we allow you to put the oaf on the table of Gvina or not? They did not allow it, they didn't want you to eat the oaf and the Gvina together.
AKA, the Gezeira is only talking about chicken and
again, I think that it's going to be clear that it's also, no, it's also a feel. I feel a buster IMO. Again, certainly buster.
But then if it's talking about buster, then obviously the fear is it's going to ultimately be cooked.
No, even if that wasn't true, again, in the end, will there always be a deraisa? Of course there's going to be a deraisa.
But
the Rabbanan don't have to justify how many steps removed it is based on the deraisa.
Meaning the whole Isra of Ha'Allah. It's simply to prevent
Afila. Correct. whether that's achila basar behema with gvina, or whether that's because of achila basar open gvina, that's they wanted to protect. Why did they not allow you to
eat them together? Maybe that's because you're going to come to cook them together. I don't know.
Oh, but
that's you don't have to answer.
You're putting on the table, that's only yes. for
which again, is against the end of our Gemara. The Kiddush, according to this, it doesn't matter if it's against the end of the Gemara, because the end of the Gemara is only kasha on Yisrael. So I don't know how else to read it.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think, like, before and after this Kiddush, the only thing that's different is, like, you sort of slice Mishal as its own thing.
Yeah, which is huge, but again, conceptually, it's huge. And it's also huge
in power of the but those of you just in Shani and Gemara, this all comes out of this understanding, Maskev Lara of Sheshes, who was that Akasha on? The Torah was Akasha on both of them.
Now it's,
to learn this way, I think you have to learn, because
that's the only time. Bishul only comes up once you have this kasha of Rav Sheshes.
I was saying, from Ashu, and now he was playing wiser to Yisr of...
If you ask Rav Ashu, why are we not allowed to put things on the table together?
No, why can't you eat together? Why can't you eat together? Why is there something about eating chicken and eat together? Sit chicken and eat together?
I don't know.
He'll say because of Bishul for otherwise what's
the point? Or he might say, you don't come to eat Basar Behingla with Lina together.
But that's also durable.
Right, but that doesn't bother him. Zero is okay. That's the Chiddush.
Okay, so why can't you have the bus?
Okay, at some point,
it's going to get to the Kazas. He agreed
that. Or, no, he might say, I don't want you to eat, again, I don't know, but he could theoretically say, I don't want you eating cold basar together with gvina, lest you come to eat already cooked basar, behema, and gvina together. It might all be in the realm of achila, I don't know.
But I think you said, based on the later Gemara, it has to be that Bishul isn't the Raisa.
Bishul isn't the Raisa. That doesn't have to be dubbed that Raisa.
But that is something he's concerned about. Just not from a Kamala perspective.
Right, Kamala.
He doesn't want you being Mabasha.
He's saying eventually until he gets there.
No.
You would admit that.
Maybe you could say, I don't know. There's no source I can point to. It could be. No, but that Gemara is only according to Yosef, according to this. He's going
to
say,
according to him,
it could be. It could be, like, look at this. Halas oaf is because we're worried about achilas oaf. Achilas oaf is because we're worried about achilas basar uvina. Achilas basar uvina, to be more worried about achilas basar uvina that were cooked together.
But
it's possible. But it's not a gzeira to prevent you from cooking them together. It's a gzeira from preventing you from eating them together. There's no gzeira of bishul anywhere in this.
Okay, does he agree yes or no that achilas basar uvina not cooked is a durable?
Yes.
Okay. Then you would agree also that when it's dafka is cooked, it's durable.
Correct. I just don't know. I can't answer you. I don't know the answer. Whether achilas basar uvina not being eaten together. Maybe this is going later on than matagima, but I don't recall. But it could be that the reason that the chazal did not allow you to eat basar and gvina together was not to prevent you from cooking them together. It was preventing you from eating them after somebody else cooked them together. I don't know. It's all in the realm of achila. You just don't know anymore. Once you have this, you don't know anymore.
The beauty of this, besides I think just otherwise the realm of
Kala, is that now it's exactly the Taz wrote it exactly to the point. Basically the Taz is saying, Zera the Gzera is off the table. That was the Maskan of the Gemara. It was so obvious to Taz that he didn't bother explaining it to lowly people like me, and I was breaking my head over this for 2 days. But I think in the end, I think that's a pshat. And it becomes a machlokes, really a pshat of Maskan of the Gemara. That's really what it all hinges on. That, again, which obviously hinges on what the pshat is in Abayi and Rashi, but it's really, who is that kasha? Once that kasha is not in Rashi, they have to say, okay, why is not Kasher Rashi? That boils down to my focus about what this is a full exception to Gzeir and Gzeir. It's a much more extreme way.
So what are they actually from this argument about when it comes to Gzeir and Gzeir? Yosef and Rashi.
According to this?
Yeah. It's no longer about what we said before, which is like...
Right. Now the
how do you define Gzeir and Gzeir? It's only...
The Machlokas, again, the Machlokas seems to be, when it comes to Basar B'Chalav,
the Rabban can serve yes or no question.
This is what you didn't like, though. Remember you told us?
No.
This is the answer you didn't like. Because you said, oh, it's an exception, but then what's the lumbus now? Right? You can tell us that. Like, if your answer is it's an exception, what does that really mean in terms of, like...
Right. Yeah, this answer is not as good in lumbus. Correct.
This is what you're saying.
Yeah.
So what is a lumbus? It's about the probability?
Not about the probability. I guess it's about the nature of the Basar Bacholam and how concerned we are about the surrounding parameters. Again, maybe that comes down to Alumbus and Buff in Zero Jet I'm not thinking about. But yes, this was the shot that I don't think is as longish. But in terms of the shot in the Gemara, now we're forced into it. When we weren't forced into it, and again, I think Rashi's got a better saying, not that I think the Taz supports. Right? I think the Taz, not that I'm sorry, the Gemara there. I mean, Grim Gunn is explicit that he assumed that the shot was as long as Zera. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. Okay, think about it a little bit. I believe that it's a shot of Gemara. I think it's gorgeous. It's beautiful. Again, all comes out of the shot of the singer that we've been nearly breaking our heads over.
Is this your fetish or this is
this? This is me. I don't know if this is correct or not, but this sitting on shot is after sort of busting my head with this quite a while. I don't know if anyone says it or not. But I don't know.
And now the class reads real for you, right?
Yeah.
What does it mean that it's because there is there? Because you're not concerned about that.
That's exactly what the fetish is according to Rashi and Abaye according to Rashi. That Xero and Zero is not an issue. Once we just look at the halacha a little bit, the Yubada show comes with five colonial brothers, he really does a very good job of summarizing the halachas. It's more like a kitzur book. He has the Shulchan Aruch on top, then he has the Bade Shulchan part, is where he deals with halacha ma'isa, and then in his Biur, he explains like some of the lomdus. So he deals with the following kasha. Halacha ma'isa. Halacha ma'isa. Now it's clear to us, right? Clear us, halacha l'maisa, that again, we're not going to deal with two people on the same table yet because the next sugya is going to deal with two people. Because right now, are you on the same table? Are you allowed to put oath and you're eating on the same table? It seems very, very clear. This table you eat on, you are not allowed to. Right? Because, I don't know, but according to Shulchan Aruch, because you're afraid you're going to come to eat it, according to the other way of intent, because you're not going to put
oath. Oh, is there a bun or the
maisa? Everybody's there a bun. Everybody's going to be eating their bun. Oh, what about? What about if you finish eating fleshes? Are you then allowed to put milchus on the table? So I finish I finish dinner, and I just say either basar or oaf, whichever one it is. Can I then, I'm still sitting on the table, maybe I'm eating our stuff still involved in eating. Can I put ice cream? No, not ice cream, real ice cream, not the Trader Joe's stuff. All right. In terms of this, does the Isser of Halo apply? Again, if I would take ice cream put on the table while I'm eating my chicken, then that's the Isser, right? That's what you're not allowed to do. If I'm done eating my chicken, I'm done eating my meat, and I'm what we call fleishig, I have to wait. Am I allowed to put it on the table or not? Yeah.
I think we're going to call if the table's still hot.
It literally depends on this, right? If it's based on our original thing that it's going to be doing and cooking, so we have no meat, so we're going to cook it together. It's done.
Why?
Because there's no meat left to cook. As you finish eating. If it's because of this, the whole thing.
You can't have to eat it together, there's no meat left.
No, but you already had meat. You can't eat dairy after meat.
Just the Rambam said yes.
I think the question was because you said meat, not dairy.
Right? It is.
Right. So if it's because...
The question I think is really what the scope of that history is. The question is that something that we make that we have to make the easier for? So he brings it from Boston. It says, Nira Shemutr La'alas Vivina Al-Shufan Akbish Azara Hamtin Sheshav Kod Ma'afilas Ma'alay Allah. Even though you have to wait, the Garabana did not go so far as to say that the Yisr Allah applies as long as you are fleishig. So if you're still fleishig, you're allowed to have milk on the table. Again, there are a lot of word mouth here that part. The same thing we true in the opposite. Again, it's less of a fleishig in the opposite direction. We'll see. Time to wait. Well, to see the scope of that. There's something you have to do. You can't do it together. When it's not together anymore, that will have to... that we'll have to get to. Then he quotes that Yesh Mishakosa, who is learning from Shuas Mishakosa, I'm not sure who he is. The Mishakosa Basar, Asuga Leshe Tov Babshaz, Eza Mishakosa Vina, Elen Pinyo, the Enershu Achal Basar, the Hashimitim says that it's worse if you have somebody else. If you have somebody else abusing now with somebody else who's eating cheese fries or whatever, and you're flinching, unless you tell the pleasure or says, come on, have some, taste it, it's really good. And you'll, forget in that.
It's still on you by yourself at the table.
Well, by yourself, you seem to say, that's what if you're just flinching, and you already
finished your meat,
and then the Rabbanan is really clear, the Rabbanan did not go so far.
Well, I was putting the table over there.
Yeah, but I don't prepare for my kids coming home and have leftovers. Or, I don't know. That's why my office happens.
We have plenty of nights where half the family is in place. You can't have people.
That's really
it. Yeah, I got nights when everybody's sort of running around and there's no more informal dinner.
You're not bothering the kids. It's the FDO you need.
I'm saying, and there was no official dinner. My wife's running around, gets home 10 minutes before dinner time, so everybody makes what they comfortable. So, yeah, our lot of us have me on the same table and the table talks. We'll get to that. That's the next weekend. But the thing, it certainly is shy. Yeah.
Or maybe you're just doing it because you want to do it because you want to know what the halacha is.
So, either way, either that's what they're. He does bring those that are not, but I don't know if they have to mount for even if the person even if the person ate. So again, that seems to be the what happens if you violate it?
What would be the problem? You're sitting at a table where it happens.
Let's say I have fleishiks on my table and I put cheese on the table. What do you have to do? Take the cheese off. Take the cheese off. Meaning you shouldn't think, well, I already did it, so like I might as well just leave it there and eat. It's a constant disservice. Meaning, assuming that you didn't do it on purpose. You did it right for you did it for show you, you didn't realize. So you put it on the table and you wake up and I can't have relations on the same table. So you say, I did it already, everybody yes, there's something I'm going to save it there. No, it's an issue which is monster. But because we're afraid that you're gonna come fix it up. So you obviously just take it off the table. I mean, it's not a major fetish, but that seems to be question. And then he writes an interesting thing. What about appointing somebody to watch over you? Does that work? Again, it's a theoretical. We have a halacha when it comes to the Shabbos, that when it comes to reading next to an oil lamp, we're afraid you're going to be mounted, that if you remind me of the shomer to watch you, then you're allowed to do it. So that by yourself, if you have a shomer watching over you, is that going to be good enough? So he assumes the boskin that would not work. Okay, so halacha maisa, at least for now, it's not, you should not. Should not put the same table. It does not seem to be a problem of when you're fleshing. It seems to only be a problem of the actual basar or oaf being on the table together. And then the details in terms of two people eating together, that's going to be, as is Hashem, the next figure.
Okay, I know it was a lot. I think it might have been a little bit confusing. I tried to make it as clear as possible, but I think this,
you guys can appreciate, because we worked hard for the Shabbos Sukkah, how the halacha really emerges from understanding what the Pshat Masugya is.